Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michelle Price, and you're listening to the Online Thought Leader Salon, where our mantra is, connectivity is the new currency. I find and interview some of today's most interesting and connected online influencers and visionaries, emerging thought leaders who are building platforms using social media, online community, private social networks and tribes, their blogging, podcasting, and also social networking on Google+, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and more. Today, we have Danielle Tate in the house. As a successful entrepreneur, Danielle is a name change expert, an on-camera personality. She's a writer and author of a top-rated Google newlywed blog and a bridal magazine contributor. And get this, it was a 13-hour struggle to change her name after getting married in 2005 that prompted her to leave her medical sales career to develop and launch MissNowMrs.com. She wanted to save other brides countless hours of hassle, so she researched all the name-changing laws and rules in all 50 states and streamlined and then implemented her unique three-step 30-minute online service. So she went from 13 hours to 30 minutes. Since 2006, she served as the CEO of Miss Now Misses, and she's revolutionized the online name change market. So since launching MissNowMrs.com, she's assisted more than 225,000 brides in their transition from Miss to Mrs. And recently she's launched MissNowMrs.com Canada for Canadian brides. But here's what I find really interesting. She's also the founder of GetYourNameBack.com, an online service dedicated to helping women get their name back after divorce, as well as a couple of other sites in the marriage niche. So she's had numerous television appearances, and we are very excited she's with us here today. Today she's going to be talking about faking it until you make it. There's 6 steps to gaining credibility as a startup. So, you know, you might envision launching your startup in this hip, exposed brick office with a whiteboard, covered walls, and employees working in beanbag loungers. But in reality, most startups begin with 1 or 2 founders, in basements, garages, and cramped apartments. Where you work doesn't really matter, but how you present yourself to the entrepreneurial community does. So listen up, everybody. You might learn something you can use. And Danielle, I see you're on the line. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Miss Now Misses.
So Miss Now Misses was sparked through my own name change frustrations. Very organized person, and after 3 attempts to get my new driver's license and my new married name, I ranted that there should be some sort of service similar to TurboTax or an online tax preparation service that would streamline the process and simplify the entire name change for not just myself, but for all brides that opt to change their name.
Really? So you just kind of thought about that, just like, okay, TurboTax, boom.
Yeah, there's just one of those moments, like, why isn't there an online solution to this particular problem?
At the 13 time, hours?
Yes, there was a book, and I really didn't want to add to the additional, you know, hour to read the book about how to change my name to the 13-hour process, so.
So somebody had written a book about it, but nobody had thought about using the internet, you know, the wonders of the internet to do this.
No, it had not been applied through the internet. So I did a little research to see, you know, how many women change their name. And in the United States, 88.6% of brides change their name after marriage.
And how did you get that research?
That was from the Journal of Marriage and the Family.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I wanted to establish that there was a large enough market experiencing the problem before investing time and research into developing a solution.
Mm-hmm. So 88% do change their names.
And there's 2.3 million of them every year in the United States.
Whoa, times 13 hours apiece, imagine.
You don't have to make
so
that
you
much
just,
of that. Yeah.
You just saved, all that time.
Absolutely. There's so many more fun things to be doing as a newlywed instead of standing in line at Social Security.
Wait, you literally had to go stand in line there?
Actually, there's a file by mail option. So one of the perks of using our service is not only do we complete all of the paperwork, so Social Security, your state driver's license, your passport form, IRS 8822, et cetera.
So wait a minute. Stop. Back this up. You actually, your system, your program completes all those forms?
as well as notification letters for your banks, your credit cards, utilities, mortgage providers, insurances,
professional licenses,
down to gym memberships.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That is really amazing. No, thinking about that, you know, that took a lot of, like, thinking, you know, of all the different places, first of all. I'm a process person. I came from corporate. My background is 23 years in corporate America, so working in healthcare administration of all places, and we did a lot of process stuff. And so I really do get what it takes, you know, what it takes to think, at first of all, to think of the solution, but then to implement something that solves that problem with that many, you know, with all the different places and all the different protocols and all the different form fields. And, I mean, it was major. It's major.
Yes, it was a very major undertaking.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started? I mean, how did you actually embark upon it? What did you do first?
So after
the research, so you established that, yes, there's a need for this.
I started with the thing that was the hardest for me, which was changing my driver's license, and I began calling each state's motor vehicle department and asking, you know, how do you change your name? And started this massive spreadsheet, and every state is different, and I learned that I had to be very particular in my questioning or I would not get all of the information I needed. It wouldn't be volunteered. So I believe my hold time ended up equaling almost 3 days by the time the project was over. But I started and compiled all of the information for driver's license.
All 50 states for driver's license.
States.
Okay, so that's how you started, with a spreadsheet.
With a spreadsheet, yes, and lots of Red Bull. And after that, the government forms were more simplistic because Social Security has the SS-5 for everyone in the United States. Passport does have three variations, but again, it's three forms instead of 50. So after that, it was pitching the concept to my now CTO and seeing if it was plausible to create a database structure that could take somebody's first name, middle name, last name, and new last name, and then have the logic to put it in all of these different places across all of these different forms succinctly.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
a magician, so that happened.
Don't you love those types of folks that can actually... Don't you love it that there are people like that in the world, though, whose brains think like that?
Absolutely. I have a bachelor's in biology, so my last computer class was in eighth grade. So between him and HTML for Dummies, I am the person who, on the front end, coded all of our forms.
You know, you know what? I would love to go to the Wayback Machine and see your first website. That would be so interesting. Everybody, you can go to archive.org. No, I'm just teasing. And go see how that looked. Wow, that's amazing. So you actually coded your first website, like yourself.
No. I coded all of the forms. So I did all of the
fields. Oh, you coded all the forms. You did.
I did. We paid a wonderful graphic designer to make us look outstanding and much larger than we were. So our first rendition of Miss Nemesis, while we have changed, was still lovely.
Okay. That is so cool. So then, you know, this we're talking about faking it until you make it and, you know, establishing credibility. How long did it take you to gain credibility, or did you do it right out the gate because you knew what to do?
With the bridal community, within 30 minutes of turning on our Google Ads for Miss Now Misses, we had our first sale. That was incredibly validating. Her name's Wendy. I will never forget her. And so with the bridal community, we had sort of instant, or with brides, we had instantaneous rapport. Everybody was, people didn't know there was a solution, but if they found us, they were excited and engaged and bought our service. So it took us time to meet different industry leaders within the bridal community, but they were rather welcoming once they got used to the fact that we were adding a new niche to the wedding industry. Everybody knows about cakes and dresses and flowers and caterers, but to add something into...
Yeah, and DJs, right? But nobody thought about name change.
Right, to add something into a very segmented community took some time.
So how long did it take for you to get to where you are now?
I feel like we are still in process. We started in 07, so it's been 7 years. I think at this point we are very well respected in the bridal and wedding community and have great ties in the entrepreneurial community as well.
Okay. So what would you say to people who are listening who are maybe tired and frustrated? You know, they haven't been able to to make headway, what would you say to them?
In how to become more
credible. Yeah, how to
credible
become more credible within their industry.
I would say target the biggest partners that make sense for your company or your solution. I feel like so many people are afraid that they have this wonderful idea, and if they tell anyone, especially a large company, that they're going to steal it and do it before they're able to implement it.
You know, that is the truth. Can I just say amen to that?
An idea is an idea, and it may be
yours.
And
that hasn't been your experience at all.
No, I think it's intelligent to not just tell everybody on the planet, but an idea is simply an idea, and many people can have it. It's the person that takes that idea, turns it into a plausible business, and begins, you know, either generating income or accruing customers. That's when it goes from an idea to a company or to a startup.
Okay. So just tell them to go after. Don't be afraid to go after the biggest partner that makes sense. Who did you target?
We targeted WeddingWire. It was actually one of our first large partners. It helped very much that they had started up in the same location as we did.
Oh, okay. So what's WeddingWire? What are they?
WeddingWire is one of the largest bridal community platforms in the United States.
And what do they do?
They're very similar to The Knot. They engage brides and allow them to view vendors in any location, see reviews from other brides, plan their weddings, create wedding websites. Basically, they're an online wedding community.
Oh, okay. It sounded like a press release service for brides, kind of wedding wire. You know, that's what it sounded like to me, like they would just do press releases, media type things. So then what was the biggest mistake you made getting started?
I think coming from corporate America, I was so used to having a brand new, completely vetted product and amazing literature and years of research behind it to feel confident in my sale that as a startup entrepreneur, it took me longer than it should have to really evangelize our story. I wanted to make sure, you know, I was like, I should wait till we have at least 1,000 brides before I talk to this person. And, oh, I should, you know, do some analysis of this and how happy people are before I approach wedding magazines. And in hindsight, it was a great idea. It was a great company. It was a great service. I should have been shouting that from the rooftop sooner.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? That just gave me inspiration. Because I come from corporate America, and there's something that I've got going right now that this is the message I needed to hear today.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
This is the message I needed to hear because, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm like, how is she in my head? And so that's not necessary. That is, you don't have to do that. You don't have to wait, is what you're saying.
Right. I want to put emphasis on, like, I don't really believe in shouting from the rooftops about vaporware. So if you have an idea and part of a website but it doesn't do anything yet, I would be more cautious. But once you have your company doing what you intended it to do, it may still be in its infancy, but you should absolutely be proud of it and you should be promoting it.
Okay. So not waiting, like you said, 1,000, have 1,000 users and all these other things like that.
Yeah,
so
metrics. Like, I just got really wrapped into that because that's what I was used to. And in hindsight, I didn't need any of that baggage.
Oh, that's neat. That's great to know. So then, you know, kind of following along that trail, what information do you wish you had when you were starting out that you didn't?
I wish that there had been a stronger entrepreneurial community when I started. Back in 2007, entrepreneurship was happening, but it wasn't the hot, talked-about, cool, hip thing that it is now. And so I struggled a little bit. I didn't have other entrepreneurial friends to sit down with and talk about, like, things that were I was struggling with, things I needed inspiration on, things I needed a viewpoint on, because, you know, they were working for corporate America or pursuing further education, et cetera. So I really wish that the community that exists now, which is vibrant and amazing, had existed then.
Got it. Because there's just a whole different mindset once you hit that. Once you kind of go entrepreneur, it's just a whole different mindset than from the corporate mindset.
Absolutely. And I think if it had happened now, my parents would have felt a whole lot better about it.
Oh, really? Tell me a little bit about that. What did your parents do?
Oh, my father's an engineer. My mom was a journalist.
Oh, Lord.
I left my number one sales position at a Fortune 500 company to launch a startup in a bridal niche that didn't exist.
So were they mortified?
They were very supportive, but very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss's face when I left my position was priceless. He's like, "I'm sorry, you're leaving to do what?" So,
mm-hmm. When you have this secure job as the number one medical salesperson in this Fortune 500 company, and you're going to go do what? On what? On the net? On the what? On the internets? Right?
with weddings, not cancer diagnostics. What?
Right. Weddings?
But it was a great deal of fun proving everyone wrong.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, it looks like you've really kind of taken that, you've taken that going. So, you know, what would you say is the one most important thing you've learned?
Never wish for it more than you work for it.
Ooh, say that again.
Never wish for it more than you work for it. It's so easy to dream, and dreams are important. But it's so easy to dream and be, oh, I wish this person would call me, or oh, I wish that this would happen, and I wish, want, need, but you need to do, so you need to work for it. So take your list of wishes and then figure out what work you need to do to accomplish them.
Ooh, okay, that's a good one. So take your list of wishes and figure out what you need to work
for
each
one. Yeah, what you need to work or what work you need to do to accomplish
what work you need to do. To get to each one. Ooh, that is so good. That is so good because a lot of entrepreneurs have lots of wishes, but, you know, not necessarily willing to work for them. Not the kind of work that you have to do. Not the kind of work that has to be done.
You need to pick up the phone. You need to ask for help. You need to have the hard meetings. You need to ask for constructive criticism. You need to do all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Being willing to do that and to being willing to listen to it. So how did you learn that? How did you learn that lesson?
Along the way, just with years of bootstrapping a business and the highs and lows, and I love the touch and feel of the website. I work very hard on our user interface and experience, and I'm always like, oh, we should do this, and we need to add this component, and I want this to automatically happen, and I can get caught up in wishing that we had all of these new innovations and not focus on promoting all the great things that we do well.
Mm-hmm.
Potential partners, et cetera.
Got it. Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense because you can get caught up in that, you know, in what you wish you had instead of just, okay, let's take what we have and make it and work with it, okay? And then, you know, and then we'll work on that other list, you know, too, one
exactly.
by one. Knock them out. We'll knock them out. What's the favorite part of your day as an entrepreneur?
I'm trying to think. There's many favorite parts. I think sitting down first thing in the morning before anyone's in the office with an espresso and just sort of organizing my day and figuring out exactly what's going to happen, what needs to happen, that's my favorite part because I've sort of orchestrated and engineered my day, and then it's go time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So then what's your least favorite part of your day?
Conference calls.
Conference calls.
There's a fantastic YouTube video called Conference Call, and if you haven't seen
it. Oh, really?
I have very little time to dabble in things like that, but it may be one of the most entertaining things I've seen on the internet.
Okay. So, I'm going to have to go check that out. So, Conference
Calls. Illustrates everything that's wrong with conference calls. So, everyone meets. Everyone sits there. Nobody knows who's there. People chime in, chime out. There's all this background noise. And nothing is accomplished during the call. And they end it saying, oh, we should have just met in person. I'm a very big in-person person.
Are you? Okay, so you think meeting in person is really the way to go?
If you can do it, yes. Obviously,
if you can.
People working remotely.
What about Skype? Is Skype? Do you consider Skype? Do you consider Skype meeting in person?
Somewhere in between?
Okay.
Yes.
So, but, you know, it's not plausible to meet in person all the time, you know, but I get what you're saying. It's something about that energy, that energetic connection you get.
Especially
when
if you're collaborating.
Person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So then what's a little known secret about what you do, about the niche that you're in? about running a website, you know, called Miss Now Mrs. And the other one, which I want to talk about a little bit about that, but get your name back.
A little known secret about running a wedding website. Actually, it's a fun marketing secret that we learned from other partners. The brighter / more wedding-esque a website appears, the higher the conversion rate of customers. Brides
really?
Love bridey websites.
Well, give me an example. Give me a few examples of what constitutes bridey.
I believe it's different for every company and every bride. But, for example, when we first launched, we were a more streamlined technology-looking website. And if you check us out today, we're pink, we're blue, we have brides, we have roses, we have obviously
have
a very large,
you know, kind of
technological component, but we've softened our interface because brides love to feel special and they want to be on websites that are addressing where they are in their life. So becoming brightier has only been a benefit for us.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, they're excited because they're excited about this phase of their life, what they're getting ready to do.
Exactly.
That makes
and
sense. You know, that just, you know, it seems like it wouldn't be a secret.
They're on all of these other bridal sites looking at dresses and flowers and gowns. And so to come to something that's very high-tech looking, there's a lot of friction versus if they come to something that, while it is a technology, has a bridal feel, it's much more user-friendly.
So how do people typically now find out about you, that now that you've been able to kind of make your, you know, your inroads into the industry?
Our partners do a great job with ad placements as well as email campaigns around name change. We're blessed to usually be mentioned in bridal magazines throughout the seasons based on different innovations we're doing. I write for Huffington Post Weddings. That always helps as well. Word
of mouth.
Oh,
nice. Okay.
And we recently launched our gift cards for Miss Now Misses in 4,700 Rite Aid stores.
I saw that.
And so that's
I have to go check my Rite Aid store to see.
Yes, and so that's been another source of interest and another way for brides to learn about us.
And you know what? It's so what's cool about it is it's practical. You know, it's a practical thing that you could a gift that you could buy for somebody versus you know, another piece of Waterford crystal.
Do you want a cookbook or do you want to save 13 hours on your name change? It's just not that everyone should change their name, but if they're going to, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel and waste 13 hours of newlywed time in red tape.
You know, let's talk about a little bit more about, like you said, faking it until you make it. So when you were trying to gain credibility, what was it, you know, what were the steps that you took, you know, really quickly? Let's tell people about that. We've kind of been chatting about, you know, other things, but I really would like to find out, you know, in terms of just starting out. So when you're just starting out, how can you shorten that curve to becoming credible, you know, and known when you're a startup?
I think it's very important to be confident in yourself and in your business and to present your business as you envision it. So you may know that you're one of two people working in a basement, but when you go to a meeting or a networking event or a pitch contest, no one else knows that but you. So you can be dressed nicely and professionally. You can, for example, when Miss Now Misses, like our very first year, I used all of our profits on a, well, not all, but a large chunk of our profits on a trade show booth. And it was a spectacular trade show booth, and it looked better than 90% of the other booths at the event we were at, and got a lot of attention and a big splash and a lot of different comments like, wow, you guys must be doing really great. How long have you been around? And so the fact that I was presenting Miss Now Misses how I envisioned it with a great trade show booth and literature that was professionally designed and put out helped grow us more quickly than if I had not gone to the show or had gone and, like, you know, stood there just myself with two or three little, like, vendor stands behind
wandered
me.
Around the hall, not even got in a booth and wandered around, like, trying to hand stuff out to people.
Exactly. So I presented myself as a big bridal company because that's where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And that
helped
tremendously.
And how did you have the foresight to do that, to know that?
It must just be a personality thing. I've always been taught to put your best foot forward, and I, again, coming from good old corporate America, was used to having like these amazing cut sheets and like great literature and, you know, collateral to hand out and explain a product. And so I wanted to replicate that and show, you know, this is exactly how amazing we are. Don't come to our office, but
right.
we're an amazing company. And someday we'll be big
enough
to justify
the
creation.
But we look good. We look good. Like I tell people, we look good on paper. We look good online. so, okay, so then what's another step? What's another step you can take?
I feel like if you want to grow and scale and make sure that you know, in the threat of keeping your idea, people that are worried that, oh, someone else is going to do it better than me, your company looks bigger when you are bigger. So if you take time weekly to brainstorm ways to grow your business, so, you know, how do you find more customers? How do you find more partners? How do you extend your brand? Like, we do things like that and realized in the name change process, you need a certified marriage certificate to file all of our forms. And we ended up creating a request form for your marriage certificate in all the different counties and added it as an upsell to our service. And it was a big boost in revenue for us.
Wow.
We came up with the married name game. It's a quiz that brides take that educates them about their name change options much earlier in the wedding planning process, and they also learn about name change solutions like Miss Nevis is towards the end of the quiz. So we took a problem, brides don't know about us until it's too late, and tried to find a way to put ourselves in the solution, which would be educating brides about their name change earlier.
Mm-hmm. That is so right up my alley. So that's the two things. So tell me about another thing you can do. You said you have six things. What's the third thing?
I think we went through be confident and present your business as you invention it. Get chummy with big partners. I think we touched on that as well. So figure out who the big companies are in your industry or an intended industry. Be intelligent about how you approach them. Hey, look at me is probably not going to be very effective. But if you can
what's the alternative? Hey, look at me.
If you can offer them something they need. So, you know, if you solve a problem that their clients encounter or their company has problems with, if you can find a way to partner with them and solve the problem for them, they're going to accept you and help you grow as opposed to taking your idea or ignoring you.
Trying to squeeze you out. So, you know, I can't believe it. We only have 3 minutes left in this interview. That's crazy. Where can people find out more about you? How did you come up with Get Your Name Back? Was it kind of just the opposite of, you know?
We had enough inquiries of women saying, can you take me from Mrs. back to Miss, that I looked into the divorce name change process, which is very similar, except you use your divorce decree. I learned this from Divorce for Dummies. I love the Dummies books. My poor husband walked in, and I was sitting with Divorce for Dummies open on the couch.
Oh, no.
Like, should we talk? And I was like, no, it's a business idea. It's going to be okay. So Get Your Name Back helps divorcees do exactly that, get their name back.
Okay. So, Danielle, what else would you know, just so how can people get in touch with you if they're really interested in learning more about what you've learned?
Let's see. You can find us at missnowmisses.com. Twitter, we're at missnowmisses_com. Facebook, we're Facebook.com/missnowmisses. Pinterest, you'll find some of my motivational quotes, things that inspire me as well. And it's, again, if you search Miss Now Misses, you will find it there. You can always look at Huffington Post Weddings for articles I'm writing. I recently did something in Forbes on Forbes Online that was a good article. So if you Google Danielle Tate, lots of things will come up. Most of them will be business related and hopefully a little bit helpful.
Okay. Danielle, it's been wonderful having you. The time just flew by. It's really exciting to listen to a woman who has actually, you know, I call it conquered this internet thing, because so many women don't get, you know, seen or heard or celebrated for the things that they do. So I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by and share your learnings with us here.
Thank you for having me. It was a privilege.
Well, thank you. And, you know, everybody, you've been listening to really the business of online thought leadership, and we are in the Online Business Salon today with Danielle Tate. And, if you want to figure out and see what she does, it's missnowmisses.com. All right? So we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Danielle. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.